Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
There's a Washington Post essay with a provocative title and subtitle, Inside Liberty University's Culture of Fear, How Jerry Falwell Jr. Silences Students and Professors Who Reject His Pro-Trump Politics. Trump's got to play into all of these stories, it seems, but maybe there's a real issue here beyond just the Washington Post taking a poke at Trump and his supporters. What about journalism schools where the students are enthusiastic, they want to cover everything, and the journalism department or maybe even the administration says, no, you can't cover everything. You can do that when you become a journalist, when you get out and get a job, but you can't do it here. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the Washington Post story about journalism at Liberty University. Terry Mattingly joins us. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So why is the Washington Post reporting on journalism at Liberty University? Is this just another Trump story?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, as you just said, Trump has to figure into everything these days, especially at the Washington Post. What's going on here in this essay, which is written by a former college newspaper editor on the Liberty University campus, a young man named Will Young, who now writes highly symbolically for Sojourners magazine in Washington, a liberal evangelical publication. To me, this story is really not about Trump much at all, other than the fact that Trump has undoubtedly created a lot of tensions on the Liberty campus between, you know, with Jerry Falwell Jr.'s enthusiastic endorsement of Trump, and much more than an endorsement, more like a partnership on many things. Yet I would also stress this is the same school that has invited Bernie Sanders and Jimmy Carter and gave them warm and certainly confident and peaceful and, warm is the word I'm looking for, gave them visits to the campus and treated them well with great respect and honor. So Liberty is a complex place, but the question that immediately jumped out at me and why I've continued to hear about this over and over from friends and readers and whatever else, the problem is that Liberty doesn't seem to know what it wants to do with journalism. And this is a problem that's extremely common at liberal arts colleges, both left and right, although as someone who has spent 25 years teaching, you know, in the context of evangelical higher education, I'm more used to dealing with conservative fears about journalism on campuses. But trust me, I've run into it on progressive campuses as well. And then, of course, there are a lot of schools that simply get around this problem by just not teaching journalism at all. So we have this strange situation where many traditional and conservative Christians complain about journalism all the time, but then their own schools do nothing whatsoever to raise up any qualified journalists who can work in the mainstream press and offer any kind of intellectual or cultural diversity there. This is the beach that I've chosen to die on, you know, for a quarter century or so. And even more than that, if you go back to my struggles as an undergraduate trying to cover news with many other students who were treated similarly at Baylor University, which at that time was kind of a progressive Baptist campus, but we got stomped on by those people just as well as evangelical/fundamentalist types. It's a complex issue, and that's what I see going on in this piece in the Post about Liberty U.
So what exactly did Jerry Falwell Jr. do that got the Washington Post's attention when it comes to the J School there at Liberty?
Well, simply stated, they took the campus paper, and I mean, there are, I do a lecture on this every year at a National College Media Conference, and have been studying this for years. There's a lot of different ways to run a newspaper on a private campus, but you start off with the fact that there is a natural tension that the school is running the newspaper. There's an old saying in journalism that it's hard to cover a war if a general is signing your paycheck. So to some degree, there are schools who believe we're running this newspaper, we're funding this newspaper, we should have the ability to tell students what they can and cannot print. Now, technically, they do have the right to tell students what they can and cannot print. The question is that a wise course of action if you're attempting to have students learn how to be mainstream journalists during the time that they're working with faculty on your campus? At the same time, it helps if you have on your faculty one or more people with practical, hard news journalism experience who understand the community of your school, yet at the same time are interested in teaching real journalism. That's the biggest problem. I've told people that when I arrived at Milligan College in the mountains of Tennessee back in 1993, I began doing some hunting around as I began to try to work with journalism programs in the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, which eventually became the Washington Journalism Center, which now is in New York at the King's College as the New York Journalism Semester. I mean, this is something I've been working on for a long time. I started hunting real journalism professors at Christian colleges in America. And at that point, now I didn't call all 100-plus schools, but at this fledgling thing called the Internet in 1993, I began looking around and trying to find evidence of journalism programs. And I could find five journalism professors in the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. Five. One hand worth of fingers and thumb. Five J-profs who had ever published a byline for a news story in a mainstream paper. Five out of 100-and-something schools. I think we have that up now to about 25 out of 100-something. That's a problem. That essentially is saying journalism is not part of God's creation, and we're not going to do anything about helping people discern whether they have a vocation or calling to work in the press. What most of these schools do is they hire general communication people with a PhD just in rhetoric or mass comm or whatever, and then they teach one class called journalism straight out of a textbook. And what students are really learning is how to be public relations officials or communicators for Christian nonprofits, denominational press, or today, kind of advocacy Christian publications of various kinds. And that's a huge problem because, meanwhile, this huge chasm of misunderstanding between these communities and the mainstream press continues to exist. So the question is, if a school like Regent, and I don't want to blame Regent alone, and I want to stress again that I've run into this problem at progressive evangelical schools as well as conservative, if they want to say they have a journalism program, are they going to have the faculty it takes to do that, and are they going to have a school paper in which students are allowed to write factual, balanced news stories, even on topics that may make the public relations department of the school a little uncomfortable?
Okay, so I know you to be a free press absolutist, but I'm detecting here that you're saying when it comes to these formative years in the lives of these would-be journalists, you are not going to be an advocate of absolute freedom of the press.
Well, I mean, there's two issues there. First of all, in my experience, about 90% of all problems with student newspapers on private school campuses are not caused by news stories. They're caused by editorials, where basically students just sit down at a keyboard and just say whatever the heck they want to say. And frankly, these are usually students who are either too lazy to do the hard news reporting it takes to cover a difficult topic. They just want to shout their opinion, or they haven't been trained by professors to be able to work on these kinds of stories. Maybe because the school doesn't want these kinds of subjects covered. The lead anecdote in the Washington Post story, tellingly, is not about Donald Trump. It's about whether or not it's possible to cover crime stories on the campus of Liberty or in its environs. And what often happens here, you have a collision between the campus police force and the local police force about whether police public open records and police light documents are ever really allowed to be seen by the public. This is my rule of thumb. You know you have problems on a private school campus if students cannot cover stories that should be producing public police reports. This could be everything from, wrecks caused by drunk driving to, in the age of Me Too, it could literally be rape or attempted sexual assault, in many cases. I've heard of cases where suicides occurred on campuses, and it was hard to find a public document about the circumstances or what happened. Folks, I can't come up with a biblical position that says we should avoid covering sexual assaults on Christian college campuses. I mean, that to me is a matter more of public relations and the school not wanting to be embarrassed by the fact that it has real problems. And I want to stress here, in my experience, most liberal arts colleges and Christian colleges in particular are infinitely safer places to be than some of the large state schools that are in the same area. And they are supposed to be doing at least a minimal amount of public reporting of the crime on their campuses. The fact that we have students getting in trouble for attempting to write stories about crime statistics and safety issues on their campus is, to me, an incredible scandal that the school should be much more candid with its donors, with its parents, with its faculty, with its students, with its wider community. So it caught my attention that this Washington Post story opened with this student, Will Young, trying to get his hands on police information and being denied and going and having to apologize to public relations officials on the campus for having even attempted to cover such a story. That's not good.
I got to wonder at this point, not to belabor it too much, but if that's the hook, and that in itself is an interesting enough, everything we discussed at this point is interesting enough for the Washington Post to cover it. And Liberty is a big name university. It just is. I mean, just by virtue of its kind of notoriety in the past. How did they somehow fold Donald Trump into all of that?
Well, first of all, it's not a news story. It's an opinion essay written by this former student. So to some degree, maybe he leaned it. And like I said in the piece I wrote for Get Religion about this, I do not deny that there are tensions on this campus caused by the Trump era. I don't know of a Christian college in America that doesn't have tensions on its campus caused by the Donald Trump era, or for that matter, by the Barack Obama era. Politics, especially related to social issues, abortion, gay rights in particular, and whatever, is creating a lot of debates and arguments on our campuses. That's all well and good. I hope students learn how to listen to people on both sides of those issues and cover them with respect, accuracy, and balance, and some sense of journalism professionalism. But you've got to let them try to do that, working with their professors. I believe that in some cases, when you're dealing with very, very sensitive stories, that the professors who serve as the campus advisors, they should not be working as public relations officials who screen all the contents of the paper. But when you're dealing with a controversial subject, you may need the professor, the journalism professor, who hopefully has hard news experience, to be able to come in and look at the story and say, hey, folks, we don't have the facts yet. You think you have the facts, but there are whole sections of this story missing. And for me, this is not a matter of censorship, the word that gets used in the Washington Post story, as much as it's a matter of professional quality and educational quality. I hope the nursing departments of some campuses are not letting people run around sticking needles in people's arms until they've demonstrated that they have the skills necessary to do so, to be perfectly blunt about it. I view this as a journalism education issue. The other thing I mentioned in the piece that I think is very important is that on private campuses as opposed to state schools, you do have some privacy issues that make some stories difficult, if not impossible, to cover. And let me give you an example. Privacy issues related to the hiring and firing of faculty, and the ones that come up the most are discipline issues involving students for violations of campus moral codes or alcohol, drinking underage, that sort of thing. I was once involved in helping students. We had rumors all over the campus. Christian colleges just love rumors, even though I seem to remember those being frowned upon in the New Testament extensively, in the book of James in particular. But anyway, we were hearing that, you know, a faculty member had been fired because of this, that, or the other. There was supposed to be a scandal there. And students were saying, we're hearing about this. We've got to write about it. And I said, okay, what are the facts? And they said, here's the facts. And I went, how do you know those are the facts? And they said, well, everybody on campus says that's what happened. And I said, have you talked to the professor and have you talked to the administration? They said, no, but we know what happened. I said, as a matter of journalistic quality, you don't know what happened yet. You have some people's opinions on this, but we don't have anything on the record that we can work with. Well, as it turns out, because of privacy issues, the school could not discuss why this faculty member was let go. And since the school could not address the issue, that made it hard for us to do a story about that case. So that's a saying that I frequently say with my students, there may be individual stories on this campus that we can't cover, but there are no subjects we cannot write about. So what we did is we couldn't cover the individual case, but we wrote a story about how faculty members live under the same kind of moral codes and ethical codes and doctrinal codes that students do. And then a wise administrator chose to cooperate with the story and said, I cannot, because of Florida law so-and-so, so-and-so, I cannot discuss individual cases. But I'd be glad to discuss how this has affected the life of the campus over the years. And I will say that we have had cases where we had to let people go because of these clauses in their contracts, which I'm sure was no great shock to anybody, but it put on the record that the problem exists. Now, see, this is what I think Liberty is struggling with. There may be people at Liberty who say, well, we can't let students cover stories like that. It's just wrong. They're privacy laws. Well, that's true, and students need to know that. But that doesn't mean you can't write about the subject, that you can't cover debates on the campus about particular issues and quote people on both sides, that you can't learn to be a journalist. I would also argue that every single newsroom I've ever been near had sacred elephants that it could not go after, subjects that it just couldn't cover because of the publisher or local political realities or whatever. I actually think that by teaching students that journalism is rarely perfect when you're dealing with hard subjects, but learning to do as much journalism as you can under your real circumstances is a very valuable skill. And I have found that to be a topic that makes students uncomfortable talking about that. But years later, I've had students tell me it was wise for us to find out that there are subjects that are hard to cover and that we may not be able to do everything we think we can. We're just going to have to be more careful and do the best job we can and get as much information on the record as we can.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. When we come back, we're going to talk about the same problem as it exists on the left.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The Foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Washington Post story about journalism at Liberty University. Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, you mentioned earlier in our conversation that this is a problem both on the right and the left at liberal arts colleges. I'm just wondering out loud whether it may account for the dearth of good journalistic instincts that we see in the media today. I mean, if this is kind of let's write the story and then figure out the facts later, the thing that may be permitted at J schools, that explains a lot about how the media deals with things at the national level.
Well, I mean, there have been controversies in recent decades focusing on whether papers are using anonymous sources and stuff like that too much. I think what's more relevant to this article in particular is the fact that liberal schools are schools that the public may not think of as liberal, but they're more like progressive evangelical schools. I've seen them refuse to cover stories or have tried to prevent students from covering stories. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, my own alma mater, Baylor University, where I got in trouble years ago, one of a number of students who were trying to cover some safety issues and some sexual abuse issues and things related to our school and apartment complexes nearby and whatever. But Baylor made headlines a number of years ago when students wrote an editorial. Once again, note, an editorial in which they came out, said the Baylor Lariat is in favor of same-sex marriage. Well, you know, the next thing you know, that's on the front page of the New York Times. In the pages of the New York Times. I can't remember if it ran on A1. But it was a big deal that it got into the New York Times, and all of a sudden the students are heroes for taking this position in favor of gay rights at Baylor University, and the school administration was saying, wait, it's not right for them to write an editorial that basically opposes the theology of our school, and, oh, by the way, the actual conduct clauses these students, you know, agreed to when they came to our school, and this was this big deal. It was an example of what I said earlier about 90% of all problems in Christian colleges being caused by opinion pieces. I wrote a piece for my national column at that point where I said, notice what they didn't do. They didn't do a news story where they talked to Baylor professors who were in favor of gay marriage and Baylor professors and administrators who opposed gay marriage, quote both sides accurately and then put out a news story about the fact that Baylor is now divided on the issue of gay marriage. Now, let's change one word in that. Let's say that it's a Concordia school. And all of a sudden, we've got the fact that there are Concordia professors and administrators who are in favor of gay marriage, and we've got other professors who are opposed, and these debates are going on behind the scenes of this campus, and then students say, hey, this is a story. We need to talk to people on both sides of this issue and publish it so that people know that Concordia, or Baylor, is no longer of one mind on these issues. Now, how do you think administrators would feel about that story?
Oh, that's so difficult because it's so true to reality. I don't know how much you know about the Concordia University system, but
I know enough to raise the issue.
Well, you're writing about the real deal there, or you're talking about the real deal there, and how the administrators would feel. They'd probably want to circle the wagons. It's a pretty typical thing to do.
In other words, it's bad public relations. Do we want our parents of students that we're trying to recruit? Do we want donors? Do we want denominational officials to know that we're now divided on this issue? And that within our campus body, this is a subject where debates about this topic are taking place, and it's affecting, I've heard of schools where it affects who becomes resident advisors or how traditional teachings about sex outside of marriage are discussed or advocated or taught, or maybe we don't need to advocate those subjects anymore because we know we're making people feel unsafe on our campuses by talking about them. Well, that's terribly important news material there. But you could see that administrators to the left of center on that issue who are trying to do fundraising and recruiting from traditional Christian churches and schools, high schools, they might not be as anxious to talk about that subject as, Jerry Falwell Jr. And thus, when it comes time to build a journalism program, maybe we don't need a professor who knows how to do hard news and who could actually teach our students how to sit down and interview people on both sides of that issue and then print a report that accurately notes that our campus is now divided on this topic. And that's beginning to affect chapel programs and discipline programs and whatever else. Is that a valid story? Of course it is. Is that a story that administrators are going to want covered?
No.
Probably not. So what happens then? Well, all of a sudden you have a journalism program that turns into a public relations program. Or worse. All of a sudden you have progressive campuses in some cases, or at the very least, average, powerful evangelical schools. All of a sudden you have them acting like Jerry Falwell Jr.? Is it a news story for the New York Times or an essay in the Washington Post when this happens at other campuses and the name Donald Trump can't be linked to it? I would argue that all of this is important because all of this is linked to the fact that journalism is an important skill in American public discourse, and journalism is a crucial part of God's creation in public discourse and information in America. And we should be, I even think Luther had some things to say about issues like this, something about kingdoms or something like that. At some point, we need to train our best students to be able to work in the mainstream culture and in the mainstream world, even if that means working with them on some stories that may make us uncomfortable, that people might find out some real things about debates and life on our campuses.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you.
Glad to talk to you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the Quentin Tarantino movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood from Pastor Ted Geese, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.